You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Many terrible tragedies are recorded in the history of the world. The greatest tragedy which ever occurred has great benefits for you.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, creator of the entire universe and author of our eternal destiny, help us each day to realize with repentant hearts that we have not lived a life worthy of your love and grace. Forgive us. Through your love and grace, draw us even closer to yourself. Empower us to see that in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, point us always to the cross as the only hope of our salvation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In recent months, our world, which considers itself increasingly civilized, was shocked at the report of several extremely barbaric events. In one country, the atrocities took place at a prison. One at a time, inmates were taken from their cells to the prison yard. After the first prisoner was bound hand and foot, a second one was brought from his prison cell. He was offered his freedom in exchange for beating the first prisoner to death by crushing his skull with a hammer. When the lifeless and bloody body was removed, to his shock and surprise, the second prisoner was quickly grabbed and also bound hand and foot. He in turn suffered the same cruel death. This gruesome procedure was continued until those in charge were satisfied that they had provided adequate examples for fellow prisoners and the public. Stories like these are almost too bizarre for reporters to describe. Even more so, they are almost too horrible for readers and listeners to accept. They flame the deepest emotions of even the hard-hearted and the unconcerned. Unnecessary brutality has always caused shock, anger, and frustration. The pages of history are filled with similar examples of brutality from each generation. Few people realize, however, that the most tragic execution in the entire history of the world is recorded in the pages of the Bible. This shameful event took place when Jesus Christ was mercilessly crucified on a wooden cross near Jerusalem. The method used to kill the sinless Son of God was indeed cruel, barbaric, and most inhumane. The tragedy of the Savior's death, however, was not in his agonizing physical suffering. The tragedy was that when Jesus hung on the cross as a totally innocent person, he was suffering the punishment for all of mankind. The only sinless person the world has ever known suffered and died for things he never did. The Holy Scriptures declare, "He who knew no sin was made sin for us." The prophet Isaiah foretold this when he said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Without complaint, Jesus obediently went to his death on the cross. This was part of God's gracious plan of love for all men, a plan where God himself would suffer and die for everyone who has ever committed any sin whatsoever. He knew that his blood, which would be poured out on the cross at the very moment of his death, would wash away the sins of the entire world. Listen to the Lord as he speaks to you today concerning what Jesus has done for you. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you have been healed. The saddest part of the crucifixion is that very few people today believe that they had anything whatsoever to do with the death of Jesus Christ. How about you? When you see the cross, does it bring to mind a sense of shame and responsibility? Do you feel that you had a personal part in it? The Holy Scriptures declare, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Most people see the crucifixion of Jesus as an event of history with no meaning for our time. Just an event we recall during Lent and then forget it for the rest of the year. The dynamic message of the early Christian church was built entirely around the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." All of us have been personally involved in the cross. Each one of us has contributed to the personal suffering of Christ. As you listen to this broadcast today, may God the Holy Spirit convict you of your part in the world's greatest tragedy. May he lead each of us to see our part in driving the nails through our Savior's hands. Sins of disobedience to parents, cheating on income tax, ruining another person's reputation through gossip, lust, immoral living, drunkenness, sexual perversion, lying, coveting our neighbor's property or husband or wife, skipping opportunities to attend the Lord's house of worship through indifference or laziness. All of these things are sin. They represent our blatant disobedience to God's holy will. Each one of them must eventually be accounted for. They are the outward manifestation of our inner evil nature, which is in constant and daily rebellion toward God. When we go to the supermarket, each item we place in our shopping cart must be paid for. Each one is added up by the checkout clerk, and the total price must then be paid. No item is overlooked. In the same way, each sin we commit, no matter how unimportant or small it may seem, is a great offense to God. These sins were all added up, and when Jesus hung on the cross and his blood was shed, they were all paid for. The great Apostle Paul reminds us of this in the first chapter of Ephesians when he says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." The tragedy of Christ's death on the cross is intensified by the fact that while he was totally innocent, he was declared publicly guilty. The famous criminal lawyer F. Lee Bailey, writing several months ago in a national magazine, pointed out that thousands of people today are receiving an unfair trial due to the incompetence of their trial lawyer. Because of the weakness in the present legal system, justice often suffers. When Jesus Christ was brought to trial, justice also suffered. Honesty was notoriously absent. All elements of a fair trial were intentionally and forcibly set aside. This breach of justice, forced on the very Son of God, was not due to a weakness in the system at that time. It was due to the overriding hate of those who intended by any means whatsoever to put him who committed no sin to a horrible death. In fact, long before the trial of Jesus, Caiaphas, the high priest, said, it is better that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. And from that day on, the authorities plotted to kill Jesus. According to historians, the system of justice in effect when Jesus was brought to trial was characterized by the fact that everything was deliberately arranged and ordered to protect the man on trial. This was so much the case that any court which condemned to death more than one man in 7 years was considered murderous. The rules and regulations set down to protect the person on trial in those days were many. People giving evidence had to be beyond suspicion. Anyone having a questionable background or even an unusual vocation was immediately disqualified. In addition, it was stipulated that all legal cases involving punishment by death could not be completed in one day. This was done to prevent a hasty conviction of an innocent person. Capital trials were also not to be held at night. With all this information in mind, it is obvious, even for those totally disinterested in who Jesus really was, that his trial was a gross miscarriage of justice. A trial which should have taken several days was rammed through in 12 hours. A trial which was not to be held at night was completed almost in one span of darkness. Testimony which was to be accepted only from those who were not themselves under suspicion was actively solicited from any and everyone, especially those who hated the Savior. Along with an unfair trial, the tragedy and the travesty of the crucifixion was compounded by the Savior's absolute innocence. Isaiah reminds us of this when he says, "He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." The only perfect man who has ever lived was condemned to die. Never before and never since has so outrageous a verdict been delivered. Even Pontius Pilate, who examined Jesus several times, was forced to say to the false accusers, "What wrong has he done? I have found nothing in him which deserves death." Pilate was so outraged by the irrational hate and false charges of the crowd that he washed his hands in front of them. By doing this, he hoped to avoid being blamed for the death of a man he knew for certain was innocent. Even more tragic is that out of love and mercy, Jesus came into the world of sin and hate to save those who ruthlessly murdered him. Those to whom he came did not accept him. The evangelist John reminds us of this in his gospel when he says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." This tragedy continues even today. The gospel of God's love in Jesus Christ is now being preached all over the world, and yet many remain indifferent to it. Others actively try to discredit and ridicule the beautiful Savior who now sits in heaven on the right hand of the throne of God. Newspapers recently reported that authors of pornography are now in the process of producing movies and books falsely accusing Jesus of being an immoral imposter. They depict him as one engaged in homosexuality and illicit relations with loose women. While many do not actively ridicule Jesus, by their indifference to his call to repentance and discipleship, they are actually rejecting him. This may be the situation where you find yourself today. Let me encourage you to heed the loving call of Jesus, to repent of your sins, and to turn to him. To remain indifferent to the call of the Savior is to reject him. Don't let yourself be numbered among those who on the day Jesus was crucified watched with no involvement. Each time modern tragedies are discussed, people react with long-hidden fears, sorrow, and anxiety. Any reference to the 1976 Guatemalan earthquake continues to bring sobs and tears to the eyes of thousands. People who have escaped from communist-dominated countries carry within themselves deep sorrow for the plight of those left behind. They recall only too clearly firsthand memories of brutalities carried out by repressive governments. All tragedies like these are best forgotten. If this is impossible, any reference to them is to be avoided. recalling these unfortunate events brings back only sad memories of death, misery, and destruction. This is never a positive recollection. The day God's Son died on the cross was the blackest day of all history. Yet our Heavenly Father used this tragedy to bring supernatural and eternal benefits to all who acknowledge His Son as their Savior and Lord. Because Jesus died 2,000 years ago, your future can be changed from one of gloom, uncertainty, and despair to one of hope and absolute certainty. Our all-knowing and all-powerful God used the death of His only Son to provide blessings for millions. The Holy Scriptures remind us of this in Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Famous men of history are remembered for what they accomplished while they lived. Their death is of no great significance. For Jesus Christ, it is just the opposite. The high point of what He accomplished occurred not in His life of perfect obedience, but in His innocent suffering and death. His entire ministry climaxed on Good Friday as He hung on the cross and announced to the entire world, "It is finished." Jesus had completed God's gracious plan of salvation for us. The Son of God would suffer no more. All sins were now paid for. Jesus did not die for His sins. He had lived a perfect life. He died for your sins and for mine. The Scriptures clearly teach that only one sin will condemn us and keep us out of heaven. To be faced with such an impossible situation could certainly drive anyone to despair. By all means, don't despair. The good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross when He died, washed away our terrible sins. It gives us a new life, a new future, and a new conscience. The Word of God reminds us, in Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The greatest tragedy in the world was followed by the greatest victory. 3 days after He was placed in the grave, Jesus rose from the dead. He did exactly what He said He would do. By appearing alive publicly many times, Jesus showed He had defeated death. Because of this, we can say with the great Apostle Paul, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, each time we see the cross, help us to visualize our personal responsibility and involvement in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, assure us of Your forgiveness through the blood shed when Jesus died. Remind us each day of the resurrection of our Lord and of our own coming resurrection to eternal life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.